So to start out, what inspired you to run for this position?
Well, I have been wanting to be a judge for about 10 years. It's something that I always thought about in terms of how I could best serve my community using my legal background. And in this particular instance, the judge that is retiring reached out to me to let me know that he was retiring, and he let me know that the timing of it was going to open it up to an election, and he encouraged me to run. My background has been in politics in a lot of different ways over the years, but I've worked on a number of different campaigns, including the last open judicial election 12 years ago. And so I did some due diligence and I thought about it and decided, it'll either happen through an appointment or an election. I have the opportunity. I really am going to go for it. So that's why I decided to run.
We don't often get a chance to have a competitive race for circuit court judge in Multnomah County. So, to your mind, what should voters be focusing on?
I think voters, when it comes to who would make a good judge, need to look to the peers of that individual. And so, for example, I have a lot of endorsements from sitting Multnomah County Circuit Court judges. I have endorsements from Clackamas Court judges. I have an endorsement from someone on the Court of Appeals. I also have a lot of endorsements from attorneys who work in a variety of areas. I've done a wide variety of types of cases over the years, in part because I knew I wanted to serve as a judge someday, and so I wanted to make sure I wasn't having to get up to speed on everything. So I've done criminal, I've done civil, I've done personal injury, I've represented plaintiffs, I've represented defendants, I've represented small businesses or local businesses and bigger businesses. And attorneys who have been on the same side of cases as me and on the other side of cases of me from me have all endorsed me. And so I think that speaks to the confidence that people who are in the legal community will have in my ability to serve as a judge. I'm also extremely proud that a number of my clients have endorsed me. It's actually nothing I sought out, but a number of them saw my name and reached out to me and said, "I would love to say something in support of your candidacy because of the way that you, handled my case or my representation." So I think that's who people should be looking at when they're deciding whether or not someone should be a judge. I think you also want to look to what have they done in the community. Are they well connected? Will they be able to connect to people from different walks of life? One of the things that I think you make me a little differently qualified than some of my fellow candidates is I grew up in New York. It is the melting pot of the United States. I engaged on a daily basis with people from every walk of life, every socioeconomic strata, every different culture, every different religion, different languages. And it's just a cultural competency is kind of a day-to-day thing that you have to have if you're going to make your way through the world in New York. And I think that gives me the ability when I'm on the bench, if there's someone who doesn't look like me, doesn't sound like me, I'm going to find a way to connect with them based on my own previous life experience.
Gotcha. So your platform lists confidence in the legal system as a priority. How would you use the position to further that goal?
One of the things that I would hope happens after we come through this situation is a lot of people don't have confidence in the judiciary or the legal system because many, many, many people who are finding themselves in the court system are unrepresented. And we need to increase our funding for legal aid. And that's definitely something that I will work on as a judge. It's something I've worked on for 10 years. I'm on the advisory committee for the Campaign for Equal Justice, and that's an organization of lawyers that works to raise money for legal aid. But the other arm of that, which is something I'd like to see expanded upon, is It also works to educate the public on the statistics of how many people go into court and they are unrepresented. They can't find a lawyer that they can afford. There aren't enough lawyers to assist them. And they come out of those situations feeling like they weren't treated fairly and that it's rigged. And that's one of the things that I would like to focus on when I'm elected, to if you can get people the representation that they need, they will come out of that feeling like they at least had a little bit more of a level playing field. That's what the courts are supposed to be. It's unfortunate that it's not right now.
Can you be a little bit more specific about that? So people aren't, even though they are legally entitled to an attorney, they're not able to find one and by default have to represent themselves. Is that right?
Yes. So we are talking about if you don't have enough money and you're involved in a criminal matter, you will hopefully qualify for a public defender. There are people that fall in between the sort of criteria for that, where they don't have enough or they make too much money, sorry, to qualify for a public defender, but they don't really have enough to pay for an attorney to assist them. So those people are often unrepresented. Also, the public defenders, and again, this is just focusing on the criminal side, are incredibly overworked in the state of Oregon. And so I think a lot of people who encounter public defenders feel that their cases maybe don't get the attention that they should, or they don't get the attention that they should. You know, lawyers have anywhere from, I'll just pick numbers, you know, 20 to 100 cases on their plate at any given time. Well, that individual has one case and they want to feel that they are being represented by someone that has the time to pay attention to it. On the civil side, we have thousands of people finding themselves in the legal system who simply, there are no public defenders for people who are on the civil side. There's legal aid, and legal aid is very limited in what they can do in terms of providing services, both in terms of scope and in terms of the number of people that they can represent. We simply do not have enough legal aid lawyers to represent the people that need them. And so I think if we have increased funding in both those areas, that will go a long way towards instilling more confidence in our judicial system.
So, you know, obviously your experience, as with others in the race, is as an attorney. Do you anticipate challenges in making the transition to being a judge?
I think anyone who is fortunate enough to serve in the position as a judge is going to experience challenges when they make that transition. And in part, it's because for your career as a lawyer, you're an advocate. And as a judge, you cannot advocate for one side or the other. But I also think that there will be maybe fewer challenges for me than some others because of the breadth of the scope of my practice. You know, I've handled such a wide variety of cases that I will be very familiar with the issues that come before me, whether it be an employment case, whether it be an elder abuse case, whether it be a restraining order case, whether it be an assault case. I'm familiar with those issues. And so I think every judge has a learning curve. I think mine will be a little less steep than my fellow candidates. But I do think, yeah, you do have to transition from being an advocate to a neutral. Fortunately, for the last, I think it's 12 years, I've been serving as an arbitrator on the Multnomah County Mandatory Arbitration Program panel, and I've been an arbitrator for, I'm going to guess, by, you know, somewhere in the range of 50 cases over the years. And in that case, you have to be neutral. You have to listen to both sides. You have to weigh the evidence. You have to evaluate the credibility of the people that are appearing before you. And I've done that. And then you have to make the decision. I think the important thing is when you make the decision that the people who are on the receiving end of that feel like it was fair. And so whenever I've issued decisions, I've almost always issued a letter opinion to the parties, many of whom are unrepresented, because I want them to understand what happened, what was considered, and why the decision was made. So I feel in that sense, I've already been doing that, so I'll be able to do that as a judge as well.
What kind of cases end up in arbitration?
So in cases will end up in arbitration in one of two ways. One, there's a contract or some provision that requires the matter to be arbitrated. But in Oregon, if in Multnomah County, if you have a case that is under $50,000 in damages and there are no equitable decisions to be made, then it will go automatically to arbitration. And an equitable decision is one that's really based on what's fair. Different principles of law apply than those that focus on determining money damages and whether or not someone is even entitled to them. So those cases end up in arbitration. If a party is dissatisfied with that outcome, they can appeal and they can go before a court or a jury. We have a constitutional right to go and have a jury hear our cases. But there are some components built into the system that would maybe deter the parties from appealing a decision that they were not satisfied with. But that's how they get to arbitration. It's just a number or a contractual term.
So you also have expressed that your platform, you're interested in restorative justice. Can you tell me about how you would work towards that as a judge?
Sure. Restorative justice has a number of different ways in which people look at it. One of the most important things is there are a lot of times people end up in the criminal justice system who really don't belong there. There are people with mental health care issues. There are people with houselessness issues or addiction issues. And a restorative justice approach, everyone has to be on board with it. You get the person who's allegedly committed the crime. You get the person who's the alleged victim of the crime. You get the defender, public defender or the defense lawyer, the prosecutor, the DA, you get the judge involved. And together, you try and come up with an outcome that feels both fair to the person who has been wronged or to, oftentimes it's a crime against society. So the district attorney will bring it on behalf of the city or the county. And the defendant also feels that they aren't necessarily just going to be spending a sentence in a room locked up, because I think one of the things we've seen over time is that just putting people in jail does not do anything to help the people who are imprisoned to make better decisions in the future when they're released. It's not rehabilitation. It's just punitive in nature. There have been a number of organizations throughout the country, including in Oregon, where we've seen that if you can work with incarcerated individuals while they're in prison, then help them when they transition out and provide them with support, resources, education, job resources, they will be very unlikely to offend again. And that's the type of approach I would like to see taken on cases where it's appropriate. Where it's not appropriate, not everyone's going to be on board with that. But I feel that one of the most powerful things you can see sometimes in some criminal cases where people have been, harmed significantly is a moment where oftentimes after a sentence has been issued and someone's been found guilty, and is the victim of the crime or the victim's family will get up and they will forgive or offer words of forgiveness toward the person who committed the crime. And that has such a powerful impact on the person who's being sentenced. And if we can do that at the outset, I think we may be able to eliminate some of the disproportionate impact we've seen on how these punitive measures have on different populations, and go a long way towards reducing our prison population.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up today?
I would be honored to serve in my capacity as a judge, and if I'm elected, I will do everything I can to serve the people of Multnomah County, and so the people who appear before me will feel that they are heard, respected, and that they were treated fairly when they come out of the courtroom, regardless of the outcome. So I appreciate your vote on May 19th.
Sweet. Sonia, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.